Good morning. Good to be able to be with you, even sort of at the last minute. It's good to see some friends here that we've connected with in the past. Caleb serves on our finance team for Catalina Baptist Association. I'm co-vocational. That means I serve as the Director of Evangelism and Missions for our Catalina Baptist Association. And I'm also the pastor of Green Valley Baptist Church, where I'm in my early 70s, and I am the older youth in that church. But we have a great congregation. But because of our age, at this point in time, we're just having our services online, and we record those on Saturday mornings. So when Jeff called yesterday, needing help this morning, I selfishly volunteered myself so I could just be here and meet some of you and have an opportunity to worship with you. So I appreciate Jeff giving me this opportunity to come and say thank you from Catalina Baptist Association for your partnership with us as well, too. We have 63 other churches that we work together to try to impact Southern Arizona with the gospel in different ways. And Authentic Life is a very valuable partner in what we do in Catalina Baptist Association. So thank you for that partnership. Well, today I'm going to, instead of talking about Daniel and his courageous faith, we're going to talk about Moses and his courageous faith as well, too. But we're going to be looking at it from Hebrews chapter 11 standpoint, because this is a great chapter about the Hall of Fame of the faithful. And we've been doing this series at Green Valley, and so this was a freshly prepared message, and I thought I would share what I'm sharing even at this very moment online at Green Valley Baptist Church as well, too. So we will be looking at that today here. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Moses, as we come to this passage, Moses is one of the most important people, I think, in the entire Bible. For one thing, he's important from the biblical narrative, but also many of the evangelical scholars believe that Moses is the guy who was the author of the Torah, or the first five books of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Jesus, over in John chapter 5, verse 46, he said this to the Pharisees, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote about me." So that's pretty good evidence that Moses had a great impact on Scripture. And then there's another instance where Jesus was quoting. Remember, it was after the resurrection. Jesus was walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus with a couple of other guys. And Luke 24:27 says, "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself and all the Scripture." I'm giving you a little bit of evidence of who Moses and the importance he was, to help us understand what we're going to look at today. Moses is mentioned 82 times in the New Testament, and more than any other Old Testament character, his name was brought forth. The story of Moses is found in the first four Old Testament books, Exodus through Deuteronomy, which if you add those up, is a total of 134 chapters that Moses is found, he influenced it. But the writer of Hebrews in this Hall of Fame of the Faithful condenses all of that into six verses in this 11th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 23 through 27. look at some brief snapshots of the life of Moses. We'll find today that there were four important choices of faith that were made. One of them by Moses' parents, his mom and dad, and three of them by Moses himself. And so, and these are four areas I think that we need to apply to our lives as well, too, in this time and age in which we live. Here's the first one. Faith chooses to challenge a godless law. Here's a little background. As if you read up a few verses, or just another verse up, we find the character of Joseph. And Joseph is about to die. Joseph was an important person at that point in time in Israel's history. And he was a person of importance in Egypt, probably sort of like a vice pharaoh that was there. It was during his time of leadership in Egypt that his family was brought from their land back into Egypt in order to survive because of famine and all kinds of other things going on. And the pharaoh at that point in time, when Joseph was in charge, was very appreciative of Joseph. He wanted to do something for Joseph and his family. So as his family moved, the Pharaoh gave him a very fertile strip of land called the land of Goshen. And they began to thrive there. And now then, several hundred years have passed, and there are a million or more Hebrews living in the land. But there's a new Pharaoh in place, and he becomes concerned about all of these Hebrews, and they were a threat to him. And so he enslaved them. He made their lives miserable. They became common laborers, making brick, doing all the heavy lifting, all of the burden work, the hard work. They were probably the muscle that was used to build many of the ancient wonders that are found in Egypt yet today. But the Hebrews kept growing in numbers. So being enslaved was not enough. Pharaoh made another decision, and he was going to begin to limit the number of Hebrews that were there, not unlike one guy in our modern day history named Adolf Hitler, who also instituted a genocide. This Pharaoh did as well too. He put out a ruling that the Hebrew midwives were to kill the Hebrew boy babies as soon as they were born. And by killing the male Jews, he would eventually wipe out a race. Now, as we think about this, we read Scripture, we understand history around us. Satan has been trying to wipe out the Jews for thousands of years. But as we look in the book of Exodus chapter 1, God introduces us to two of his champions. Names that do not just roll off of our tongue very easily, Pua and Shipra. How many know who they are? Right. We don't hear much about those two, but they were champions of God because this is what they do. They were the midwives, and they refused to obey Pharaoh's godless law that he had put into place. Pharaoh was so frustrated. He ordered anyone who discovered a Hebrew baby boy, they were to throw that baby into the Nile River to drown. And this is where, in case you were wondering if we was ever going to get to Hebrews 11, verse 23, we come to this verse where we read, "By faith Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. That's an important phrase. They didn't fear the king's edict. Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, had two children, Miriam and Aaron. But they recognized there was something very special about this baby that they named Moses. And so they hid him, and they put the baby boy in the Nile first, making a basket out of the papyrus leaves and sealed it with the tar and pitch, and they launched it into the Nile River. Now, I think probably, this is John's speculation here, I think that they probably did that strategically. Because we know what happened, the story. Pharaoh's daughter found the baby boy floating in the basket in the Nile. So they may have said, you know what? Let's put the baby out there where Pharaoh's daughter is. And let's just pray. Let's see what's going to happen here. Either way, whatever happened there, don't you believe it took faith on their part to do what they were about to try to accomplish? It took faith to push that little basket into the current of the Nile River. Here's why I think it was more strategic, because there's another part of the plan. Moses' older sister Miriam was nearby watching what was going to happen. And so when Pharaoh's daughter, wading in the water, saw the basket, she lifted the cover. And what does you ladies do when you see a little baby for the first time? Oh, how cute. Oh, man, look at that pretty little boy. Handsome little boy here. She recognized it as a Hebrew boy, but I believe this is something else I believe. I believe God whispered in her ear, did something in her heart that said to her, take care of this little boy. So she decided that she would claim the little boy and would adopt him. And at that very precise moment, here comes Miriam. And Miriam says, Your Excellency, this little boy looks hungry. Would you like for me to go find a Hebrew mother that could nurse him for you? And the royal daughter says, sure, that would be great. So Miriam goes and gets her mom, Moses' mother, brought her to the palace. And this is what Pharaoh's daughter says. If you would take this baby and take care of him, I will gladly pay the expenses and pay you some generous wages. Now, did Jochebed have to say, well, let me just think about this? No, she agreed. And I really think God has a sense of humor. The devil was trying to wipe out the Jews, but he ended up paying the food bill, the diaper bill, and the clothing bill for the child that would deliver the Jews from slavery. But it took faith. The parents were willing to challenge that godless law. They knew the punishment for breaking the law was death, but remember that last phrase in verse 23, they didn't fear the edict of the king. They feared the one true God, and they knew God was pro-life. And they took a leap of faith. You know, there are times, and we live in strange times now in 2021, don't we, across our land. There are times when a Christian may choose to commit civil disobedience. And that's a choice when man's law commands you to do something that God prohibits. Or when man God's law prohibits you from doing what God commands us to do. So we got to be ready to suffer the consequences of breaking man's law. But let me also say to this, because out of practical experience, doing 65 and a 45 is not civil disobedience. That's just plain breaking the law. But here's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do you fear God more than you fear people? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of both knowledge and wisdom. Fear of God doesn't mean you cringe in terror before Him. It means you love Him with a passionate affection. And if we're ever tempted to go against God's plan, we need to let our faith lead us so that we make the right choice. Moses' parents stepped out in faith in light of the godless law. Second thing, faith chooses suffering over sin. In the second chapter of Exodus, we read that after Moses' mother had raised him for a while, she brought him back to the palace, and that had to be a huge act of faith to hand him back over to Pharaoh's daughter. But over in Acts chapter 7, Stephen has a great sermon that's recorded for us there, and he points out that she raised him as her own son, brought him up, that's Pharaoh's daughter, brought him up in the wisdom of the Egyptians so that he was powerful in speech and powerful in action as well too. But Moses grew up knowing that he was a Hebrew by birth and an Egyptian by adoption. Look at verses 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. Stephen goes on to tell us Moses was 40 years old when he made that huge decision. He could continue to live in a palace and enjoy all the fringe benefits of that Egyptian lifestyle. He was, after all, would be the grandson of the Pharaoh. But deep within his heart, he knew that he was a Hebrew, born a Hebrew. And when he saw the suffering of the Hebrew slaves, he decided to turn his back on all the trappings of royalty, all of the advantages that he would have in his life, and identify with the Hebrew slaves. The Bible says Moses made a choice to suffer instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a short time. We're all faced with the choice to live by faith or to fall into sin. Listen, this is the reality of it, my friends. The devil always offers the thrill first, and then there are diminishing returns. The next time, it's not quite as thrilling. But listen, the things of God are just the opposite. He always saves the best for last. The Christian life just keeps getting better and better. This will date me a little bit. Maybe some of you will remember. There was a little song we used to sing in our Bible study, Sunday school classes, or at camps that we would go to. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So, as many of us are faced with choices each and every day of our lives, when we're faced with the choice to walk by faith or slide into sin, let's remember to make a choice of faith, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Moses also had to make a choice over eternal reward or temporary wealth. You see, once Moses identified with the Hebrews, I think that he probably thought he was doing God a favor. Before we're too critical of Moses, sometimes we also have those kind of thoughts and attitudes. You know, John, you're a director of missions. You can have some influence over the churches and Catalina Association. Well, whatever, I'm just picking on myself here. Let's think about Moses, what he was thinking. He was an Egyptian. Matter of fact, he was a VIP in the Egyptian influence. He had wealth. He had influence. Look at verse 26. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. Now, he thought he was a pretty hot shot guy. But also, we see that he was looking for something beyond just the treasures of Egypt. He was willing to once more align himself with the Hebrew people. And one day, he was walking through the Hebrew camp and he saw an Egyptian beating up on a Hebrew. Moses stepped in and stopped that action. He looked around, make sure no one was watching, and he killed the Egyptian and buried the body in the sand. He covered up his sin in the sand. Well, Moses thought he was doing something pretty well, probably, in doing that. But the next day, there were two Hebrews in the camp arguing and fighting among themselves. So he stepped in again. He was going to try to influence that. And they didn't want him. They didn't want him around. They didn't want his influence. They didn't want him to stop their disagreement. And so as he was trying to do that, they said to him, "Who made you judge and ruler over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian?" Well, Moses at that point, that was the last thing he wanted to hear. He was a wanted man. Pharaoh wanted his head. And Moses went from hero to zero in just a matter of moments. And so he left. Became a man on the run, leaving behind all of the stuff that he could have had in his life. If Moses had chosen to stay in Egypt, being rich and famous, he would just be another obscure historical character like hundreds of other Egyptian rulers are today. He would have been a footnote in history. But because he chose to identify with God, he is known as one of the greatest lawgivers of history. Matter of fact, in our U.S. Supreme Court, this relief, this art piece that's on the wall over the judges' seats, is a carving of Moses, and other judges in the carving are looking at Moses. And so he is etched in the very center above the U.S. Supreme Court justice today in our land. But Moses is willing, we see, to suffer the disgrace for the sake of Christ. And so we wonder, okay, Moses, then it was 1,500 years later when Jesus comes on the scene. He wouldn't show up in the flesh for 1,500 years, but the Old Testament saints knew about Christ. This is what Jesus had to say in John 8:56. He was talking to the folks. He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." Listen, we look at the lives of these Old Testament prophets. They looked ahead and they saw Jesus. Moses was just like that. He knew there was going to be a deliverer who would come and set the people free. Moses realized that all the gold, silver, diamonds, jewels of Egypt were only temporary value to him. Moses saw the treasures laid up in heaven, and he made the right choices. Now, here's a question that faces each of us in our times today. Are we running after the riches that this world has to offer, or instead are we focusing on the eternal reward that comes from serving Jesus? It makes a difference which ones we chase. The temporary, what the world has to offer, or the eternal reward that comes from serving Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And fourth, faith chooses to persevere when the goal can't be seen. Moses ran away from Egypt, but that's not the last we hear of him. He went silent for a very long time. Now, some will say Moses was running away so Pharaoh couldn't find him. But look at verse 27. I think there's another way of looking at this. By faith, that's important. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. You know what I think Moses was doing? Sure, he was a wanted man. But more than anything, I think Moses was wanting to run towards God. Wanted to run so he could find God. And we know he headed east toward Midian, where he would live the next 40 years, marry, have son, tend to his father-in-law's sheep. But he never gave up seeking to find the God who was invisible. There was something that was just nagging within him that God had a plan for his life, and he just didn't know what it was. We know one day that he saw a burning bush, and it wasn't being consumed by the fire. He turned aside and went over to check it out, and the voice of God came out of the bush and said, "Moses, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground." Remember the question Moses asked? Who are you? And God says, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've seen the affliction of my people. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to send you to tell Pharaoh to tell him, let my people go." Now, Moses wasn't, at this point in time, the most confident person, like he was maybe 40 years earlier. Lost some of that self-confidence, lost the cockiness when he rushed into action. He's now 80 years old, and he's trying to convince God to get someone else to go. But eventually, God convinced him. Moses was ready to get back into action. So here's the choice he had to make. He had to make the choice to persevere. It was by faith that he took those steps. Let's think about us. You know, there are times, maybe in your life, maybe even today while you're here, you feel like giving up. You feel like that maybe God's finished with you. You've run your race. For some of us, we need to be really willing to make the choice. I'm not going to give up. I will not give up. I will not quit. I will keep on praying. I will keep on serving. I will keep on worshiping. I will not quit. And you know what that is? That's by faith you're making a choice to persevere in spite of the challenges that you may face. So the challenge today is make the right faith choice. Persevere. We need to be reminded from time to time that God isn't finished with us yet. I pastor a group of people, have already told you, our average age is 75. I've got 80-year-old deacons serving today. I'll tell you, well, I got 88 plus. No, I got a 90-year-old deacon serving today. We need to keep on pushing. And if authentic life is going to become the lighthouse, I think you dream, and you, I know your pastor aspires what it to be. Challenges. Keep on persevering. Keep on living out the faith that you have found in walking with God and serving Him. It may not happen as quick as we want it to. It took Moses up to 80 years old for him to begin doing what God really wanted him to do. But God is not finished with us. You know what we need to be able to keep going and persevering? Faith. All it takes is, God, I trust you. I don't understand. I don't know what all this means, but I trust you. Our faith demands us that our faith is placed in Christ alone. It's in Him that we find the strength to persevere, to walk on, to carry on, even in the midst of a pandemic. God will see us through. We place our faith in Him. Let me pray for us. The folks come up and they're going to sing a song to close us out. I'll be standing over here at the side. If you want to talk, if you want to talk with me later, I'm going to hang around for a little bit and try to stay out of the way of people tearing stuff down and putting it up. But don't walk out of here today struggling with your faith without seeking someone here that you know and that you trust that can help you with your walk with God today. Maybe it's for the very first time, whatever it may be. Father, you know the hearts of each person that's here today. You know the hearts of each person that's watching online today. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would just stir their hearts and their lives now. And Father, begin to move them into the place where you want them to be. And I pray, Father, for their surrender and their obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.